Gang, it's no doubt that Spotify has become the number one streaming site for music. I have an account and I love it. I find new music by following Tastemaker playlists, and I make my own playlist that I share featuring music from guests on the show. Did you know that all of your favorite podcasts, including How Did I Get Here, are now available on Spotify? Well, they are. Just go to Spotify.com or download the app from the App Store, and don't forget to follow How Did I Get Here. That's Spotify, the ultimate place for music and podcasts. Let's get down.
You may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here?
Welcome to the show. I hope that you guys all had a fabulous weekend, and I've got a great show for you guys today. I really do. Edison Chair is on the show. Martin Aker, Ellen Gruber, and Wes Bellows from Edison Chair are on the show. Now, this is an interesting fact. Martin was on the show with Edison Chair in the summer of 2012. I did a live podcast at the Saxon Pub on a Monday night before Bob Schneider's show. He was allowing me to do that. I was trying out doing some live stuff at different places. I went and tried one at Saxon Pub, and I got hooked up with Edison Chair through my friend David Cotton. So I'd never known them. They were very young then. It was actually just Martin and Wes Armstrong who played drums. But Martin's back today. Martin Aker, Ellen Gruber, and Wes Bellows from Edison Chair are my guests on the show. It's been a long time. Since 2012, they've revamped their band. They got two female singers, and Rachel Thompson and Ellen Gruber. Ellen joins us today, and added some other dudes, and refocused the band. And they've got a 7-inch vinyl release coming out March 7th. That's later this week. They're putting out three singles at once, and they're doing some South by Southwest shows next week. They're playing on Tuesday, March 13th at Sahara Lounge, and on Thursday, March 15th at the Red Shred Tavern, Texas Indie Fest. All right, go to edisonchair.com, find out all you need to know about the thing. I have a great conversation with Martin and Ellen and Wes. They're great people and really talented folks. I really like the music that they're making. I hope that you enjoy it. I hope that you enjoy it, ladies and gents. Anyway, get out there to edisonchair.com, and before we get to this conversation with Martin, Ellen, and Wes from Edison Chair, let me tell you what's going on with me. I had a great weekend, got back to work with Skyrocket. It's always weird when we have a weekend off, then there's no gigs. It's like not working for two whole weeks. So it was real strange. We also didn't rehearse. So it was just like this weird netherworld of not seeing my bros and homegirl. Anyway, so we got back together and played on Saturday night for the Domestic Abuse Hotline fundraiser over at the Hotel Van Zandt. And it was a really nice event. The Hotel Van Zandt is really nice. I really like that place. My friend Lauren Bucheri is the person that does the Geraldine stuff over there. And I think she's in charge of music for all of that chain of hotels, because she's always in some exotic place posting photos on Instagram and making me feel bad about not doing anything cool. Anyway, had a great time playing that show. Had a great time playing at the Hotel Van Zandt. It is pretty crazy there on a Saturday night at like 11:15, trying to get out of there with Rainy Street right there. If you live in Austin, you know it gets crazy down there on Rainy Street. Anyway, this week with Skyrocket, we're playing tonight. We're playing a private thing downtown. And Thursday, we're playing a thing at Fitzgerald's. And hey, check it out. On Saturday, I am playing a show with Pauline Reese at Toopsies in Lampasas, Texas. You can go to my new website, johnnygowdy.com. In fact, that's what I did with a lot of my weekend. I sat around building a website. Spent a lot of time on Sunday doing it. So there it is. It's got dates, got links to the podcast, got links to the podcast on Spotify, got links to my music, got links to Skyrocket dates. There's lots of pictures. You can enjoy photos of the podcast. You can enjoy photos of me playing live. And and yeah, so it's a lot of fun over there at johnnygowdy.com. Go there, find out if you want to come out to Toopsies. If you live in Lampasas, if you make your way out there, you can go there and check it out in the live section. I think I might change that name to shows. We'll see. We're still working on everything, getting everything together over there at johnnygowdy.com. But go there and get involved, okay? All right, so without further ado, my friends that are playing at South by Southwest next week, Tuesday, March 13th at Sahara Lounge, Thursday, March 15th at Red Shred Tavern. They're also releasing three singles this week on a vinyl release on March 7th. Go to edisonchair.com, all right? And enjoy my conversation with Martin, Ellen, and Wes from Edison Chair. Let's get down. Get this right.
Okay.
You were on the show before.
Yes.
And it was sometime in 2012, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I remember doing a rash of them that summer.
Yeah. And there are two members who were in the band then who are still in it now. And like that was before we had any girls. And so it's kind of like a whole different thing.
Right.
But we still call it Edison Chair, and it's still been Edison Chair since then.
Who was the other guy that was on with you?
The drummer, Wes.
Wes. That's the other Wes, because you got two Wes's. How many? That's a very freak thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's even freakier.
I've known him my whole, most of my life.
The other Wes?
Yeah, the other Wes and I have been friends since we were like 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So about 18 years now is how long I've known him. And I knew him outside of, the band or anything with the band for a long time.
And their last names are Armstrong and Ballou, so they are Wes A and Wes B.
Yeah. Easy identifier.
I'm telling you what, this is a strange, strange what not.
Yeah, because we constantly go, like, go do something with a group of people. Like, just last night we were doing the local live for KTSW. And so you meet 10 people and you... My name's Wes.
Yeah.
Sometimes we'll keep it going and everybody introduces himself as Wes.
Yeah. That's pretty funny.
It's best when we started out. It's like, hey, I'm Wes. Hey, I'm Wes.
I'm Wes. Are you Wes?
Start questioning.
So, hey, so this, the first single, I Hope You Get Everything, this is a tougher sound for you guys, I found. More in your face. What's going on there? Who produced this? Where'd you record
it? Definitely. We recorded at Orb.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
where
with Matt.
They make rock records there with... Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The great Nevesky.
It was cool. Oh, yeah. It was beautiful. The studio is gorgeous.
It's gorgeous, isn't it?
It's a great place.
It's nice. It's very a real studio, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
It's like when you think of this studio.
Yeah,
exactly what it is.
Yeah. So how long did you do? You did three singles there.
Three singles in 2 days. Okay. So it was pretty... rapid pace.
A lot of live recordings. You guys play live. You're a live band. There's there's a funkiness to you. Hot girl with the dog. Sorry.
Background window.
In the background window. I'm just keeping the listeners knowing what's going on. You guys can't see it. There might be a hot girl with a dog. She might go around the whole building.
You guys
might see it. Just hoping. There's some soulful elements. What would you call your music? Because it isn't straight up rock, but this is a tougher, more rock thing than what you've done. There's almost like a mixture of acoustic and funk and then soul singing ladies.
Yeah, I think a lot of it's girl power. We try to tap into the girl power because the lyrics of our songs are not very positive. Like, that's something that we joke about with each other. We pretty much write harder subject material, a little more negative, but still uplifting women.
When you say harder subject material, what is this subject material, Ellen?
Well, I just mean, I don't know how to ask them that one.
Who writes the songs?
I usually come up with like the general idea for the song, and then as it's like the more it's developed, the more people kind of
right.
are involved in the process. I think Si Se Puede's one, like, I think what Ellen was getting at is maybe they're not all inherently super positive, but they're more about overcoming than already
well,
being.
Well, Si Se Puede is Yes We Can.
Yeah. So that one comes to mind for me. There's one we haven't recorded called I'm Not, which is real a whole lot like that, I think. But to go back to the what you were saying, like, I hope you get everything. Definitely a harder sound for us, and it was something that I was thinking kind of Zeppelin the whole way, like on the chorus. That's what it kind of gets to me. And like, there's one part in I Hope You Get Everything that's almost like Rachel actually sings with this kind of, I'd call them heavy metal band, called Chasing After Alice. And you know, in that genre, the breakdowns are like the big things, you know, where they do all like the weird timings and stuff, and they're palm muting and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And I Hope You Get Everything kind of has a breakdown in it after the chorus. It does that, you know, the
it's just like
I come from the Beatles and the Beach Boys, you know, so like that's my background, and so like that's totally a departure from that, you know, so it's kind of fun to do that.
What era Beach Boys is your jam?
Well, I like the surf stuff, you know.
Really?
Yeah, personally. Like, you know, give me, like, Help Me Rhonda, and, you know, I Get Around, all that kind of stuff. Like, Pet Sounds, you have to really appreciate it for what it was or what it is. But I like the more, like, poppy, really cool harmony stuff, you know, with all the reverb on the guitars and stuff.
That's cool.
Edison Chair definitely, way before I joined, because our band story is pretty interesting and intricate as well, but when I started watching Edison Chair, I was probably in eighth grade, because Rachel was in a band that played alongside them with when James Mays and Margaret Mosier like was putting mm-hmm. the teens forward in the music scene. Mm-hmm. They were all part of it, and
that
including
U18 thing. Is that when you were on the show? You were a kid?
Yeah, that was kind of a transition period, but like in between, like the bands kind of morphed a couple times with different lineups, but that was a little bit after that.
Go ahead.
Sure. Back to when all of... So Jake was in the Carson Brock band. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then they were Edison Chair, and Rachel was in Aftermath, was her band's name. And we would go to showcases, and all three of those bands would be playing together. And then we, like Wes B and I, would be in the audience just being groupies. And then we joined much later.
Didn't Livvy Bennett play
Livvy
bass
was in Aftermath, yeah.
Yeah. Like, there shows. Was...
Don't tell him.
There is like this Texas school competition called School Jam, and the year Edison Chair entered in it, we're all in high school and we're three piece, and we lost to Carson Brock, who our bass player now was in that band, and then the next year they went like the whole country, and it was national. It was called School Jam America, and then Aftermath with Livvy and Rachel won it that year.
They went to Germany.
Yeah. Oh, so I've seen Rachel. Mm-hmm. I saw Rachel sing then when she... Okay, because yeah. Livvy was in...
She played bass for them.
Right. Mm-hmm. She was in Super Pal Universe.
She was in Super Pal Universe.
And Super Pal Universe hired me one summer to write with them for a whole week. So we became pals.
Oh, cool.
Super Pals. Super Pals.
Shut up.
I still have the tunes on my... I still listen to them every once in a while. I love them.
That's hilarious.
There's one about not wasting water. It's real good.
I completely forgot about Super Pal Universe.
Yeah, that's
I remember that.
Yeah, so is that a Wings belt buckle?
Yeah.
You're fucking cool.
It was my mom's.
It was the best. It was your mom's?
Yeah.
So she was, not an eBay jam. That's like straight up.
No, that was hers. I tried to like, the belt she had was like crazy skinny, so I had to put it on a different belt. But
is that a Pegasus?
It's a Pegasus.
It's a Pegasus, all right. Is that a black t-shirt?
It's a black t-shirt with a purple jacket on it. Yeah. Got Toms.
They match.
Not interesting.
Are those Toms?
They are. Yeah.
No, that is interesting because for every pair that you buy,
yeah,
they supply a pair for someone that can't afford them.
I bought so many pairs for them.
They're actually Wes's.
Too many. These ones are mine.
Wes, someday you're going to go to like Zimbabwe and they're going to have like a statue for you for all the Toms that you bought.
You know how sick that would be?
Okay, so let's figure out this. Okay, so you started seeing them then. When you were in eighth grade.
Right. And what I was going to say, just touch on, like, they definitely had a surf sound back then. Like, it was exactly what Martin was describing as a surf sound, but with pop vocals, but still a rock band.
Right.
So that's when me and Rachel started watching them, and we loved them. So we've all been friends for like 8+ years. Mm-hmm. And then Rachel joined before I joined.
So wait, how old are you guys now?
They're 26. I turned 24 in 3 weeks, and Rachel's 23. She's the youngest.
Okay, go ahead.
23 to 26 is the
range. Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah, so we're all pretty early. Like, you know, I was probably 17 when I met Rachel, and she's probably like 14 or something like that. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty crazy.
Wow.
And then, you know, then those kind of bands ended for everyone except Edison Chair. We didn't really go to college. We kept the band going. Everyone else kind of went to college and stuff. And then Edison Chair kind of had a couple different guitar players and whatnot. And then we started having Rachel in the band. And that kind of changed everything because we were just, you know, we were writing a lot of songs that we really just couldn't sing because, like, I really, like, you know, I love, you know, the melody is, you know, almost always my favorite part of a song. Mm-hmm. And so, like, as a writer, I think I'm good at doing that. But as a singer, it was really hard to, like, sing the things I was actually writing. So I was like, man, we got to outsource our vocals to someone who can do this, you know. And so that's how we got Rachel in. And to start funding things, we started playing in a cover band. And because Ellen was real hesitant at the idea of being in a band for a while, but she softened up to the idea of being in our cover band, which was the same people, but we were just playing like...
What's it called?
It was called Edison Chair.
It was just Edison Chair.
Yeah, because okay, we were just playing like bars and surf towns. Well, not surf towns, coast on the Texas coast. You know, Galveston.
Galveston.
Surf towns.
Yeah, right. Surf Texas towns. Surfing. But we tore up Galveston
we
every
tore
song.
Up Galveston.
Where did you guys rock?
Yaga? We rocked at Yaga's. Yaga's. We rocked at Stuttgarden. We rocked at Pleasure Pier. We rocked at Beerfoot.
I've rocked
Yaga's.
Float.
Yeah. Float.
Yeah. They get down at Yaga's. Float
I was rocking Yaga's in the summer of 89. I'm not really? Kidding. My band was rocking Yaga's in the summer of 89.
Hell yeah, dude. Hold it up in 2017.
That's really baller.
Yeah, you guys, that place has been around for a long time.
Like, yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So what stuff do you cover?
Our list is up to like 65 now. So we have a lot of, like, we started out with classic rock because that's just kind of what we knew. And then mm-hmm. we're like, okay, we need to get more.
But pop. Classic rock, like what?
One of Wes's songs are like A Little Less Conversation by Elvis. He does
that's
Tom
very
Petty.
Cool.
What Tom Petty do you do?
Don't Do Me Like That.
Don't Do Me Like That.
In there.
And then like.
Oh, you've heard that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
I was talking with a friend of mine.
Yeah
baby.
And then you'll probably know, we do Brandy by
The Looking Glass.
The Looking Glass, you know.
The horns.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a boat.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby. Let's
totally.
Make that tune with Johnny and Wes.
I know, right?
Let's start a show.
Let's do it. I'm with it.
But then, we'll do weddings, and, like, maybe they'll like country. So we'll, like, okay, now we're doing Brooks and Dunn and Josh Turner and Gretchen Wilson, and we did Redneck Woman and stuff like that. So, like, we'll just kind of learn anything.
We have, like, certain sets. Or we have so many lists now based on where we are. We play at Buck's Backyard sometimes, which is this great place in Buda. And they definitely want country, so we play more country for them. But then we have like a pretty solid wedding set that has Shout and you know, all the stuff you want to hear at the wedding.
Do You Love Me?
Do You Love Me?
All that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
the classics.
Do You Love Me, man? Shit, that's a song.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But then there's some places where we can like our set is like 2 hours, maybe with a break, or maybe even just 2 hours straight, and we'll play an hour of original and an hour of cover and just kind of mix it up in this 1-2 hour kind of like we just pick our best originals and pick our best covers and just play that set. Mm-hmm. So that's really fun. Like we play this place called The Foundry up in Dallas and it's like kind of a hybrid show and those are really fun.
Oh yeah.
So when did you start doing the covers?
So I joined
trying to make a living.
2 years ago?
I think this point. Summer is 3.
So yeah, let me ask you a question. Has it been a good, I mean, you're able to go record at the Orb.
Which is really cool.
Yeah.
You're able to...
That's how we did that.
Is it how you make your living?
Yeah.
Not how we make our living.
No, we have jobs on the outside of it.
But it's a way that you support the Edison Chair making original recordings and whatnot. Mm-hmm.
Sure, yeah. But that the cover band funds our original band.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And as we would like to focus
more
on our
original... My cover band funds me.
Yeah, that's
cool.
It's cool.
Yeah, yeah. Because that's like... The thing is, there's only so many Friday and Saturday nights... And so if
you
like
gotta do some
so
stuff,
like you just like you kind of you have to walk that path. And like, we did a lot of cover stuff last year, and we're hoping, you know, that just really set us up so for this year we can do more original stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. And then just pick and choose more like the better cover things, you know. So
it's awesome.
That's kind of the plan.
Is it fun? Do you get to go down? Do you get to do like two nights on the coastal towns? Like kind of have fun and have like a day, you know? What do you guys do? Like if you say you play in Corpus Christi for two nights, what do you do the day of the second night of the show? Do you hang out together?
Oh, yeah.
Do you go on your own? Oh, yeah. Do you go to the movies?
We go get breakfast.
Go to the mall. Go to the breakfast.
Yeah. First thing is always breakfast.
Yeah, taking care of the hangovers, number one.
I mean, we sleep six or seven people in one hotel room.
Always.
Yeah, we'll get a Motel 6 or a...
Yeah, and we'll sleep in on Hojo. Floor. Don't tell Hojo. Yeah.
No, they know when we get in.
You're still doing it. That's a bold move, man.
Yeah.
I remember that move very well,
when
man.
When did you stop doing it?
When did I stop doing it?
When he got enough money to get his hotel room.
In the 90s, but I mean I started doing this in the 80s.
Yeah. Sure.
And it was
the plan is to stop doing it to where we all get our own Motel 6
here,
room.
When I started getting my own hotel room, when my cover band started doing really well.
Yeah.
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 Otherwise we shared, and then before that it was we all shared. It was a 4-man band.
True.
And it was four dudes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Two dudes in a bed.
I think.
How do you guys do it? There's six of you guys.
Six. Four yeah, in so bed,
we get
two
on the
floor
mats. So like
we have
foam pads.
Like big ass foam pads.
That's cool.
You get a couple of those together, you don't even notice, man.
But like if my head's at the base of the
that
door,
too, yeah.
Like Wes Blue and I are sleeping like head to toe. So like his head's in the bathroom.
So yes, yeah, just like we extend from the door to the bathroom of most hotel rooms. We found out so.
But, you know, but we're making more friends in cities, and so then we go stay with
that
them.
That does,
and
yeah.
And then,
you save
so much more money, yeah. Like, you know, because it's so expensive.
Not only does it save money, but it kind of turns your scene in those cities into a scene. Like, you're like, mm-hmm. Oh, we're going to see Dave and Brenda. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
We're going to stay at their place. Oh, we're going to see their dog Sheldon. You know, like, I love that stuff.
Yeah, totally.
The friends that you make on the road, and you go see them, and you call them when you get there. You call them when you're coming in, and
sure.
Go eat breakfast with them, mm-hmm. And... I love that. I love rock and roll. what's gonna happen when the EP comes out?
Well, all three of the singles.
All three of the singles. When all the three of the singles drop and you release the thing on March 7th.
Well, we're really just trying to amp up the shows, and then you know play in Austin, but get out of Austin and play in. You know, and it's nice because in the area that we're at, we're really pretty relatively close to a lot of large cities like Houston, San Antonio, and Dallas. And then there's a lot of cities in between those towns that actually, you know, have some cool stuff in there. Like there's, you know, there's like a college in San Angelo and stuff. So like that's a college town. People mm-hmm. don't think about that. There's a lot of places like that around. So we're just trying to get into like those.
That's me. Shit.
Oh, you're good. Like the college radio markets is where we think we could do well because we're still like all you know relatively young and you know we think we can do good with college people and whatnot.
Do you do good with college people?
I think people our age are drawn to our music. That's
it's fun. There's a lot of fun going on, mm-hmm. especially you know
people who listen to rock. Mm-hmm. I don't know people who don't. Then they're not. You know if you just listen to electronic or like only
right,
hip hop,
right.
You're not gonna like Edison Chair. But
if you don't like hearing instruments being played, you're probably not gonna like it.
Isn't that weird? Hey Wes, do you mind handing me that phone? That's really terrible to like make guests do stuff for you.
That's right.
Thank you, buddy.
Of course.
I'm also gonna take a photo of you because I do find that you do need to do this every once in a while. So guys, let me ask you this other question. That's great.
It's like, no, that's how we always sit for interviews. Oh,
yeah,
of course. We're
always just like this.
So I'm thinking.
So those come out, you're going to try and get out to other towns. Where do you play in Houston when you go down there?
We haven't been to Houston in a while.
We played Natsua. We played Dan Electro's.
Natsua. Someone else was going to play there that was on the show recently.
Interesting. I know Tucker Jameson played there. That's the only other Austin guy. Well, not Tucker Jameson. What would
you know
be?
What
Sharks
you guys might really do well? Do you guys know Alex Vallejo?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Talk to Alex about booking Hotel Sorello.
Sorello?
Or something like that. Yeah. Wherever it is that AJ plays and Dead Love Club plays.
Okay. In Houston?
Is a place, oh, yeah. Okay. I think you'd have to do covers, but I think you might do well.
Cool.
Yeah. I don't know if you have to play, like, you know, more dancey stuff, but...
Yeah. We have dancey stuff.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you want to hear?
Yeah, we'll get the TLC going,
especially that.
Well, 90s. I think your own stuff, a lot of it can you can mm-hmm. dance to, mm-hmm. and it has, you know, a lot of soul. You play Rickenbacker.
Rickenbacker. I do. I love Rickenbackers.
Backers.
I say Backer because I'm from Texas. Backer. But it's probably Rickenbacker.
Is that your only axe?
No, that's just the one I use on that song. So I use it in the music video. Okay. So I use that and I have a Les Paul Professional, and then I have a Strat. For my guitars.
What's a Les Paul Professional?
It was a short run of Les Pauls that they made from 69 to 72 that were just kind of... Ooh. It was a low impedance guitar at first. It's real cool. There's like a lot of literature online about it, but it was one that Les Paul specifically was doing something with or had something to do with the making of it.
That's exciting.
Yeah. They were my dad's old guitars, so they're pretty
cool.
Oh,
that's nice.
Yeah.
Was your dad a jammer? Is he a jammer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was, yeah.
He doesn't jam?
Well, he passed away a couple years ago. Yeah. Yeah, but no, back in the 70s, him and my mom were actually in a band together.
Really?
So, yeah.
What band would I know them?
No, they were just like a cover band and stuff. So like, you know, they'd be playing in Big Spring and, you know, places like that, you know, around like central Texas and Lubbock.
Did he get to see you start playing and do
totally,
all that?
Yeah, totally, yeah.
Was he real proud?
Oh, for sure, good. Sure. He's at every show and stuff, you know, good. All that kind of stuff. But, yeah, so, like, we have a bunch of stuff from him. Like, Wes plays organ, so he has a Leslie, you know, I have, like, a super reverb that I play that's all his and stuff. So, it's pretty cool.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Hey, you use a Nord?
Mm-hmm. Electro 4D.
What's going on there?
It's got the real draw bars.
Right,
and
okay.
And it's
okay.
Not $4,500, so there's that. But, I mean, it is still, like, too much. But it's, yeah, that keyboard is... beautiful. It's everything. I mean, I have two keyboards there, and anytime I've ever had a problem with my Korg, the Nord does everything I need to in a pinch, so it's fine.
Yeah, when did you guys get a manager?
It was about 2 years ago?
It was after we had started the cover band.
Right.
So, yeah, 2 years.
Should do some booking and stuff for you guys if that handles that?
Yeah.
Do you guys have, like, a whole presentation for that? Like, a different sort of, like...
I wouldn't classify it as a present. I don't think we have a presentation for it. It's just...
For the booking? For the cover bands, is that what he's saying?
Yeah, like a...
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, we have these videos that have, mm-hmm. like, a montage of stuff, and...
No, we're not playing in any places that are quite that, like, okay. You know, like Cedar Street, where we have, like, a whole act kind of down yet, you know? It's more just places that want some live music.
That is, and
stuff mm-hmm. that yeah. people want to get, you know, just dancing is like the number one thing. We just right. like, we have alcohol. We want people to dance here, play music that they will like. You know, that
man.
Kind of
I went to this bar in Galveston when my cousin graduated medical school earlier, like in June,
mm-hmm.
and I went to a bar that had a band like that. I wonder if it was you guys.
Might have been.
Could have been.
You ever play on the seawall at one of those places?
The seawall in
Galveston.
Yeah, well, the Beerfoot was on the seawall, but there were only three people there, so it wasn't.
That's true.
You
weren't one of those three drunk dudes in the back room listening to us.
I was a drunk dude. That I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I was a drunk dude.
Yeah, man, we've never made it out of Galveston without doing
without some horror
crazy.
Stories.
Yeah,
we actually, we took booze and then we had these drinks and then we hid them in the bushes of that place.
Perfect.
And then went in and had just a shitload of drinks and then came out again and got... Is your friend here?
Maybe. Did you hear the door?
Rachel?
Come in.
Oh, that's her. Wow, that was fucking freaky.
That's a little creepy.
Hey, girl.
Girl, come in.
Have you already been at the door before? Hi. Or did you just walk up?
I just walked up.
It might have been another hot girl with a dog.
Could have been a hot girl with a dog.
Do
I do not have a dog. I wish I did. Yeah. Hi.
Come on around there. You can sit in that chair where Wes was. Wes, you sure are nice, man.
Oh, of course. No problem.
He's not that nice.
Are you
serious?
Can I have this?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Hi, Rachel. Welcome to the show. We've been talking, and where are we at right now with the cover band stuff? And it's a dancing seawall.
Yeah.
I hid booze and went back and got drinks with my cousin. She graduated medical school. But you guys do play a lot, and congratulations on your new string of singles that you will be releasing. One will be out by the time this podcast is out with a video. I hope you get everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What is that song about? What am I missing the thing?
Just,
When we're saying, I hope you get everything.
You deserve.
You deserve is the punch.
Yeah, so it's not as happy as it, like,
it's not happy at all.
So it's like, oh, I hope you get everything. That's really nice. Until you hear it the fourth time, it's like, you deserve.
Yeah. Just like, get
it's like,
effed.
Oh, hey, it's like, F you, dog. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That is what
we
it's
say
about.
Damn in that song, and we don't usually curse.
We usually don't.
Do you not usually curse in life?
Oh, Lord.
Oh, we curse all the time.
Okay, good.
Jeez. Yeah.
I realized the other day there was someone on the that was a guest, and I was just talking normally, which is a lot of F's and S's.
Sure.
And they were like, oh, every time I said it, and I was like, oh, maybe I should be cool, because I bet their audience is like, why is that man talking to him like that?
Yeah, that's always the
what
thing.
What is happening?
Like, if you default to F's and stuff, because I'm generally not sure in the first place.
I like F's.
I think like it's colorful.
If you recorded our casual conversation, it'd be pretty incriminating. It'd be bad.
Bad.
Incriminating, or
just none of us would make it out
of context. Maybe,
yeah, just like these people we respect, you'd be like, no,
they don't like each other.
Well, I think that you guys, what's the song that has like the first thing I remember when I went into the room? Get that girl, no matter what I do.
There's a late in the evening.
Is that C-Sip Weather?
That's a Paul Simon song.
No, is the C-Sip Weather your song the one that has that?
Yeah, totally.
I can't even do it with my mouth. You know that dude played that with two sticks in each hand?
Yeah, he's a monster.
Why? Does that do something? Like,
yeah, the way he's playing
when you
it,
hear it, you, if you do it, it with just sense. One stick you, and you hear it with two sticks, you're like, oh, okay. Yeah.
Does he like...
I don't know how to explain
one
it.
Comes out here and then one,
yeah, he's got Wolverine.
Like,
no.
Yeah.
It's kind of like mallets, maybe when you have a...
He plays them like this.
Oh, just like literally holding two sticks and
right?
Yeah, like I think so. So something? they hit on each other.
Yeah, they click on each other.
That's crazy.
Maybe it's like that. I don't
yeah.
know.
No, I've had on vinyl out.
Is
home,
that Jerry Murata?
I've got no idea.
I think it's one of those guys. That's one of those legendary guys. Rachel, where do you hail from?
Like just now?
No, in or... well, from just now. Let's start with just now. Where do you hail from just now?
No, back.
I hail from a lesson. I was teaching a voice lesson.
Oh, you do teach voice lessons?
I do.
Oh.
I do. I used to teach more. I now only have one student, but I've been teaching her for so long that I decided to keep her when I stopped teaching.
Hmm. And so, what do you do instead of teaching now?
I work at the cafe in Barnes & Noble.
You can visit Rachel on Brody Lane.
I'll make you a coffee.
There's a bookstore?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'll go there.
Do it. It's
wait,
cool.
Are you around there sometimes? I'll go say, yeah.
Yeah, please do.
I'll be like, hey, remember me from the podcast? And you'll be like,
no.
Yeah.
I think he took books in the bathroom. Because, right, isn't that the big no-no? At least
yeah.
it was on
yeah,
Simon.
The other day, yeah. Seinfeld, I had bought a book and it, like, went off. And they made me, like, search through all my receipts
they,
and gave me the, like,
this woman stands in front
degree.
Of Rachel and is, like, doesn't believe that Rachel, and Rachel works there. And this woman, like, almost watched her check out the other day. And her book beeps as we're, like, walking through the exit. And she's... Rachel's like, I think I have my receipt. Like, let me check. So she checks. She probably checks like 15 receipts. And this girl's just hand on her, like her hands underneath
yeah.
her chin. And she's just staring at Rachel.
Oh, yeah.
Just like, does cool. not believe her. And that she's a really trusting girl. And so I try to tell her. And then the girl's like, well, I watched you count all your receipts. So you can just go ahead.
Oh,
like
my God.
She was like, okay.
Anyway, they're really intense about books. But the cafe's things. Great. You should totally go.
Is the cafe a Starbucks cafe or just a straight up?
So it Barnes is, like, it's all Starbucks coffee and Starbucks drinks, but it's not technically owned by Starbucks. Like, we don't accept,
sure.
like, Starbucks gift cards and that kind of thing.
Okay.
But honestly, like...
but it basically is a Starbucks.
Just in case you were getting any ideas
no,
about using one.
Yeah. It's going to be a no.
Shut that down right now.
But anyway, that's what I do.
Go across the street.
That's awesome.
I hail from here. I hail from Austin.
Okay.
We're all born in Austin.
So you guys all came up through the system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We all have our high schools.
Right, that's right, because you were the singer of Aftermath, and I saw you play.
Yes. Thank you for knowing.
Oh, here's the thing I didn't tell you. The very first, I have an all-lady band, which
what?
Is now the Blue Bonnets.
Yes,
oh,
with
yeah.
and then Kathy Valentine.
Uh-huh, and the first band I ever had was Kathy... Savannah Welch, Susanna Schoffel, and Libby on bass.
What?
Mm-hmm. I didn't know she played
Libby
with Susanna
like, Libby, Libby was like 14.
Yeah, she was good at
or
a young
15
age.
Or something.
Mm-hmm. Crazy.
She's an alien.
Mm-hmm.
She's like all grown
really
up now,
pretty.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
She's
in LA.
She's in LA?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
We used to live with her boyfriend, but then he moved to LA.
She stole him from us.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Do you guys all live together?
Everybody but Ellen lives together in the band.
Ellen, where do you live? Do you have a boyfriend?
I have a girlfriend.
You have a girlfriend?
And we live together over off of 290 and Bannister. It's in a nice little apartment.
That's nice. Is it really shitty when someone says that? I feel bad because I feel like I'm old. And I'm like, no, what I mean is, do you have another person that you live with that you
share? I don't think it's shitty. It doesn't bother me. Okay. But it happens more often than you'd think.
Someone saying, do you have a boyfriend?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's just...
I think that's what people say. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's just what you were raised saying.
I feel like it sounds weird. Like, do you have a partner?
Yeah.
Yeah. Then it's like you're not wanting then to assume. It's maybe you're trying to be PC, but that doesn't offend me.
That's good. Well,
we're all triggered in here.
So aren't you glad you don't live with everyone?
Yes. Oh my God. They tried. They asked at one point. They asked.
I needed another.
And I said, no, she's the only woman, and there are five boys.
Yeah.
And Emily's around a lot, so sometimes it's like 2 against 5, and then when I'm around, it's 3 against 5. But we are still very outnumbered.
It's tough. I'm in a band with 6 boys and 1 girl.
Mm-hmm.
And
how's she do it?
We got a female sound woman a few years ago, and so she's got like a partner.
That's good. They need two. You need somebody else.
And plus, one of the people in the band is her brother. It's just like all around, just like a disaster. Total disaster, but now she's okay.
That's good.
She's got her own life.
I feel like I've always been in bands with like all guys.
You have been.
You know, I had Libby for a while, but then it was all guys, and then when I first joined Edison Chair, it was all guys, and then I forced Ellen.
Honestly, it's more fun this way because just guys and girls act differently, and so it's like if everyone just likes each other. First off, everyone has to like each other, whether it's guys or girls. But like now, having been in a, you know, obviously I was in Edison Chair when it was just guys, but then when you add girls into it, it's more fun. It's interesting.
Yeah, I like that. I like a mixture. I like everyone to play together.
Mm-hmm.
I do like a boy band of just boys where you can just be boys around each other. Like
just a bunch of bros.
it's just doing weird stuff to your penis in different ways. Yeah. What being in a boy band is like.
You'd be surprised at what they would do in front of us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's like, I think it's pretty much just that.
There was no.
I did not break eye contact. There like,
that's her.
You go ahead, honey. You beat that thing as much as you need to. Yeah, I know I used to offend Trish, but now she's. Every once in a while, there'll be a setup for like some kind of wiener thing, and she'll look at me and be like, please. And I'll be like, okay.
Yeah, at some point you just expect it.
Yeah.
I also feel like sometimes we're even grosser.
We can be gross. Yeah,
sometimes.
Truth.
Yeah. The girl band that I have now is like women, ladies, and they are hardcore.
Oh, yeah.
When they talk with words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like if you just get a bunch of women together, we're just as, like,
we're pretty grotesque. Yeah, raunchy.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you guys? I mean, do you guys have significant others?
No.
Mm-hmm. The rest of you? You do?
Yeah.
Well, you're handsome.
Thank you.
I mean, not that no one else is.
No,
but,
trust
you know.
Me, yeah.
No.
I'm actually...
You're the most handsome.
She hates it. She hates it when I'm self-deprecating. It's okay. I know
where
I am.
We're getting this show on Access. We're going to do this. We don't even need writers. Yeah.
Oh, not at all.
What's that? So go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm dating Emily, actually. I'm dating the manager in the Edison Chair. Ooh, same Emily. Dude, exactly. I know, right? No, we're a power couple.
Even after we
you're a self-declared power couple.
I think that's good to say. Do you have a celebrity hyphenated name or like?
No,
what would it be?
Yeah, I have to get back to you.
Marley.
Wait, Marmalee.
I like Marmalee.
It would have to be like that.
Yeah, it would.
Emerton.
Like yeah. I want Emily's.
We're like the Underwoods without all the bad stuff. You know?
Yeah. Whoa, look at you. That's not even.
I get self-proclaimed.
Do you have a celebrity love name?
Jellin.
Ugh.
Jellin. My name's Jessica.
That's really good.
It's cute.
Good one, yeah.
Because we're Jellin.
Jellin.
Ugh, that's sweet.
Yeah. We have nicknames for everybody in the band.
We
think,
do.
Actually.
Wait, yeah, Rachel's also dating the drummer.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, so we're really incestuous. Was like just
before...
kidding.
They were dating before she joined, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me ask you this, because this is always the most fascinating thing for me is when you have to work and
play
relate.
Sure.
We just together. Say everyone's fucking everybody.
Yeah. And that's our just, slogan.
It's not untrue.
It's like, it's like some weird Fleetwood Mac.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or I guess just.
So, does that ever happen? Are you ever in rehearsal and you two like, are like, what do you mean? But that's a fucking thing. And
no.
Then you guys all kind of like, whoa. Maybe
no, from the like, I know no? For Wes and I from the get go, like one of the main things when I joined the band, because we had already been dating for a while, was we can't cross that. Mm-hmm. Like feelings in that sense can't cross. And so in rehearsals, we barely like, we'll talk, you know, about band things, but mm-hmm.
It's very.
We do our best at rehearsals and it shows to like make it as non obvious that we're.
Yeah, it's more like if someone's being a dick, it has nothing to do with them
whether
being
you're dating or not.
In a relationship with something else.
Yeah, usually it's 5 against 1. So
something
when
else,
I'm being
you know?
A really
you know, no, but like it really doesn't come up that much. But yeah. It is like the bigger band you have, it is hard to just get like have everybody on the same page and then like in the same mood at the same time. You know, sometimes like and like the bigger you have that like we have a friend who is in like a 12-piece brass band. You know, I'm like, geez, what's because we have 6 people and I think it's hard doing that. You know, so like mm-hmm. The bigger you make it, it's hard to give everybody's like feeling the night the same way. You know, like sometimes. Some people aren't feeling so hot, and the other people are just, like, want to rage, and, you know, like, balancing that can be an issue sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like even dating or not, like, being in a band with people that you grew up with like we are.
That's true. That's true. You've known each other for a long time. You're close
really
like family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're all up in each other's faces. That's
all the
definitely
time. All
the truth. So.
I think that that's sweet, though.
Yeah.
It can you know. Be.
Sometimes just leave them alone and it'd be fine.
Right.
Do you guys have a plan for okay the 3 singles come out mm-hmm. Is there like a hey we're gonna get into this thing where we're releasing singles at a certain rate? I'm just asking that because I recorded 4 songs and I don't know if I'm gonna release an EP or if I'm gonna release a single a month for 4 months
mm.
With
right.
videos and then in 4 months, in
there's,
3 months, record 4 more songs and
sure.
Then do that. I don't know.
There's something to the 4 singles, like a single a month with video kind
seems
of just
like that's what anyone
yeah,
can
just
handle.
Like, and
now.
Like the way things are now, exactly.
Yeah.
It's just like you. Because like I'm thinking about it, even me, right? I'm a guy who loves like we have multiple record players at our house and we all get albums and vinyl from the store and they come home, hey, let's listen to this. And we just sit through a whole thing.
Yeah.
But. More and more when I'm on my computer or doing something else, music is, like, secondary. And so it'll be a playlist of just single songs from
right.
anyone.
Yeah.
And it's not usually as much of a, like, oh, I'm going to dive into this. And I feel like that's just how it goes, is that you hear, you know, kind of like the way the radio works. You hear a song, and mm-hmm. it cycles through, and you might hear it later that day, but
mm-hmm.
you might not. But usually people are in for just, like, one thing. And beyond that, it's just, like, the rest of their day.
Yeah.
Right.
Plus, recording is such a process. Would like a really
so
fun process,
expensive.
But also an expensive
just,
one.
Yeah,
so we really wanted to elongate, you know, the process of releasing these singles. So
you guys said you did 3 days,
two days, 3 songs.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
All right. I did 4 songs in 2 sessions with the band, and then 1 overdub. So 3 days.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Cool.
And then whatever happens to mix. Did Nevesky mix your stuff too?
No.
No, Travis Kennedy did.
He's really good.
Mm-hmm.
I like him a lot.
Yeah, he just did that record with Otis Wilkins and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's cool. Yeah,
yeah.
He's real good.
Yeah.
I was going to say something about that.
Okay.
Oh, so, no, to your point earlier, like, about singles. Like, I think the reason we went with singles is because, like, we were talking about the way people consume music, and like obviously it's way more expensive to release an album than it is to release singles, but then you know maybe albums have more of a, like some sort of gravitas or something because you can write album reviews over them, so there's pros and cons. I think the only thing we really wanted have decided to do is record in different studios with different people, kind of more for the sake of just mm-hmm. doing it. But
like,
because like we love Matt. Like,
oh
we've
but you, what's to say you don't want to go mm-hmm. to this place and do something with
yeah.
like Danny Rice or something?
Sure.
I think he would be great with you guys.
Or
you
we,
know?
Speaking of Vallejos, we were talking with I'm a blank. No, the one who's at
Omar.
512. Oh yeah, Omar. Yeah, and so we went into that studio to check it out just for future projects.
Cool.
And you know, everyone in Austin goes and sees Frenchie at some point and does a single with him, so we gotta do that one at some point too, you know.
I'm gonna say, when I first heard, because I'd heard your stuff, I listened to your stuff, and then I went to the link with the new stuff, my first inkling was, oh, I wonder if they went to Frenchie, because all of a sudden there was like this fucking riff coming in, you know.
So, yeah,
yeah.
So I think that's the only thing we're set on, but the reason we are doing the singles is so we can put them out sooner. Mm-hmm. So okay. I'm not sure if it'll be out again this sometime this year, but I think we'll be back in the studio for sure in this year, whether or not it comes out this year or not.
That's what I feel like. I feel like, I was talking to Jane Ellen Bryant, who just she records with Frenchie a lot, and we were kind of going. She sang on my record, and we were kind of going back and forth and like what do you do now, like, you know. And she was like, well, I'm just gonna release singles. And also, it's different markets. Like, I'm gonna be going for a different audience than Jane is going for, and I'm an older person. Maybe my people want albums. But I was thinking of this, and tell me if you think this is weird, because it's kind of what you guys did. You guys did three singles, gonna release a 7-inch with those three singles on it. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. I think, why don't you just release like 10 singles in a year, and then if people are digging it and it warrants it, make a fucking vinyl album and put it out at the end of the year.
Yeah,
I think that's a great idea.
That's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. A they told us that at AMF. That's a strategy.
A&R told you that.
Yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's
just like...
that painting is of A&R.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah. Nice. A&R is behind you in that photo.
Yeah.
A&R and me have a podcast we just started.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of the people who go to AMF have been on this podcast too.
Yeah, so, I work there.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's right over there, isn't it?
It's right over there. Yeah,
yeah, where we are.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, oh yeah.
So I played with A&R for a decade.
That's cool.
Oh, cool.
No, yeah, he talked about some show y'all played. Well, it was something he was talking about, maybe something about a Kiss cover band in Corpus.
Oh, yeah.
About how they thought they were the king of the road, and then like they had an original set, and like no one came because they didn't have all the fire and the makeup and shit, so no one gives a shit about them.
Yeah. Yeah, that guy wore a jacket with the guy who was in Kiss, and it was weird.
Man, that's a lifestyle, doing that band every night. Whoa! Like, what is your prep for that? Like,
not even being the band, though, but being a band that... I mean, I'm in a cover band, but I don't... Being a tribute band to Kiss would be just real weird.
Yeah, no, I've seen where they all, like, they looked the part. Yeah. They had a flamethrower.
Yeah, they did a 2.0, right?
The Hanover's 2.0.
Yeah, and they had the sign. They had the freaking Kiss sign.
2.0.
That's what it's called.
Yeah. I know. I've been there. I played there.
It's a cool stage, but it was funny just because I didn't expect them to have a flamethrower. So I expected them to, like, be dressed full out. But then as I was leaving, I just see...
Because they were probably, like, a registered one. Like, you can get, like, or whatever it is. Like, you can get official,
Kiss themselves they check you out as one of the best. You're,
right. The thing is to get, to use all this stuff,
mm-hmm.
you have to pay them.
I think so.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What Doug Somm would have referred to as the groove tax.
The groove tax.
Mm. Yeah. Every once in a while, you got to pay the man to live the life. You know what I mean? You guys Doug Somm fans? You know who I'm talking about?
No.
Country, yeah.
It's a country rock and roll kind of guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of the founders of this whole, what it is that we live in now. One of the founders of the cosmic cowboy Austin, Texas thing.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Was his son the one in the quintet, Sir Douglas Quintet?
He was Sir Douglas of the Sir Douglas Quintet.
Doug Somm is the in
is Sir
okay
Douglas,
I had
Sir,
okay I
thought, and then he's the guy that started Texas Tornadoes with Freddie Fender, Augie Myers, and Flaco Jimenez, and now his son Sean Somm took his place. And
okay,
I think they got another guy to take Freddie's place when he died.
Here
you go, Austin music lessons.
Yeah, there it is.
Johnny. It was a Texas band that named them Sir Douglas Quintet because that was like all the British bands were really popular. So if you named your band Sir Douglas Quintet,
did you see that?
They'd be like, oh, these guys are the new Beatles. Yeah.
There's a brand new documentary that Joe Nick Potoski that writes for Texas Monthly. It's on Amazon Prime.
That's cool.
You can stream it. Great movie about Doug Somm. What am I missing here? Am I missing anything? Is there anything?
We talked about the history.
Excellent. It's a good history.
It's a crazy history.
You were included in the history. And then it turns out I've seen you.
Like, yeah. Aftermath Days.
Oh, Aftermath
Days. I saw Aftermath. Because awesome. I loved Libby. When after we did that Super Pal stuff.
Mm-hmm. He brought up Super Pal Universe.
He worked with Super Pal.
Wait, you see that flower? Oh, you see that flower drawn on it? Libby drew that for me when we were writing songs. What? Yep.
That's hilarious. Gross.
That's so cute. No, yeah, I remember Super Pals.
Mm-hmm. Were you almost a Super Pal?
I auditioned for it. I did.
You did?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm not bitter. It's fine. Just kidding.
That's hilarious.
I thought it was a really good idea, and I was very...
It was a great idea.
When I got involved, it had... Wasn't it James Mays was the guy that... He was first. It was Sarah, and then James, and then I think they wanted to branch out and find different writers. Mm-hmm. And you know what happens to me when, like commercials or, like, someone wants me to do something in, like, a very normal world? Mm-hmm. Like, they were like, oh, let's get Johnny, because he's edgy. You know what I mean? And then I go in and I'm like, okay, well, I mean, I don't know how edgy I can be. One of the guys was 11.
Yeah.
They were all so nice though, and the idea was so cool. And I loved all the songs that the Super Pal did
too. So I was like, look, for starters, we're just gonna go to lunch at the Yellow Rose.
Just kick them off.
$14.99
Do not tell Sarah.
Whatever you do.
Do you guys know Sarah?
Sarah Hickman?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, we did, after I did one of her songs on one of her albums forever ago.
Really?
And I can't remember. It was like one that she had a bunch of people cover songs that she had written, and I can't remember the name of it right now.
Everyone except me.
I'm sorry.
That's what I know.
But she also hooked me up with my,
in this room.
I know.
I get bitter.
Me too. It's cool. We can be bitter together.
We can talk about all the things we're bitter about.
Well, there is that thing about being in Austin is such a family thing that when they do something like that, like all ATX and like all your friends are on it. And you're like,
oh, totally.
Well, what, am I good enough to, you know, sing a Beatles song or something? Come on, dude.
But then you know that you're going to be on the next one. I feel like it's always like.
No, I haven't been on any of them.
Oh, well.
You hope you're going to be on the
Sometimes
next one.
You just get fucked.
Amen.
Sometimes you just.
That's a song I wrote with those kids.
With the Super Pals.
Sometimes looking for Edgy, you got it.
Sometimes you just get fucked. I should have them on the show now.
Yeah.
And talk all about
where are they now?
Like.
Yeah.
That would be
interesting. Where are they now? All grown up.
Where are they now?
I remember one of the guys, I can't remember his name, the oldest one, who played guitar.
Was he hot?
Kinda. And I think so.
Is he hot now?
I don't know.
No.
Rush?
Limbaugh.
Yes.
No, like that was a drummer.
No.
Rush was a drummer.
No. He had dark hair. He went to our
Asian?
School. He went to McNeil. And
what?
Yeah.
He was the oldest one in the group.
Mm-hmm. Because I remember we would pass him in the hallways and we'd go, Super Pal. And he would be like, you guys, I don't know you.
Was he was much older than us, though. At least 3 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. He was a little, was like on the, what?
I have the same type of mug that you have.
I thought that earlier when he brought it out.
Your coffee mug. But mine says La Chalupa on it. And then it says the boat, which I don't think is Spanish for.
Mine is Las Banderas. The flag.
Yeah. Whoa, that is like, it's literally that color.
It's the exact same thing.
Exact style.
When you pulled it out earlier, I was freaked out.
It has a little number on it and everything. That's funny.
Super Pal Universe. Good James stuff. Mays.
Yeah, James is actually the one that owns Band-Aid School of Music that I taught voice at.
Okay.
/ teach voice at.
Is that the place that's over by Guitar Center?
No,
that's School of Rock.
That's Austin School of Music.
That's straight you're thinking of.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, you're thinking of a different one.
Guitar Center. Guitar Center.
Oh!
Up north, there's a School of Rock. I think it's called School of Rock.
Oh,
Jason
like,
Master teaches there. Then there's the Austin School of Music where they do the straight music. There's a lot going on here.
Yeah, there's a lot of good music schools.
Mm-hmm.
Band-Aid's the best. I'm biased.
Man's the best.
I sing a lot of my feelings.
You guys Milford fans?
Milligan?
Yeah,
he's cool. Wes used to open for him with that band Carson Brock that we were talking about that we met a bass player with.
How do I know Carson Brock?
He is the Eric Johnson kind of disciple, if you will. Like his dad played. What? That's most accurate.
No,
the
idea of an Eric Johnson disciple just sounds.
His dad was the bass player for Eric Johnson back in the day, or still is.
Oh, Kyle's son.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so he used to totally. Well, at least when I knew him, just dressed like him and played like him and stuff like that.
He was a great guitar
player. And then so our drummer, Edison Church drummer Wes started subbing in. For that band, and that's how he met Jake back in the day. And so they used to play at the old Antones That's on what, like the vodka or whatever it was.
The old ant, yeah.
For what we would say, the old ant.
Yeah, that's why I started laughing. Yeah. Yeah.
And so they would open for Malford Milligan and some guy named Gary Clark Jr. So
some guy.
Some dude.
Yeah. Like on Wednesdays or something.
That's
yeah.
crazy.
Man, talk about where are they now? What happened to that guy?
I know, right?
Just fell off.
Never saw him again.
He was really sweet.
He used to play around here a lot too.
You could find him places. He owns Antone's now.
Yeah.
He's one of the owners.
I didn't know that either.
He was one of the guys that, and then moved it over to this thing that it's at now, which is great.
Yeah, I like the new location.
I do too.
Well, it came over
here. I didn't
here
like
first,
the one
right?
that was over here.
Okay,
no.
yeah. It came over here for what, 6 months?
Because it was right next to Evo's.
It was
like
weird.
No. And that was weird.
It didn't make any sense.
I did a live podcast there.
The last time we played at Antone's, it was like, we've had like... Anyway, the hardest rainstorm we've had.
It was Hurricane Harvey.
We played a show during Hurricane Harvey. And it was just ridiculous. Like, no one's downtown. And then, like, when you walk past an alley, like, the wind just, like, you just get flooded by water, you know, because it's just, like, blowing that hard.
Come in.
He's going to walk up
really?
5 seconds from now. Watch this.
And then
shit.
You That's immediately crappy. Walked up. It was crazy.
Are you psychic?
We were for you, yeah.
I knew it.
That's why I have that lava lamp.
That lava lamp
looks like it's having some weird discharge.
Right? It's kind of
cloudy.
Up at the top.
Is it sick?
I don't. It's old.
Oh, yeah.
Guys, people get out there and find these guys. Edison Chair, Martin, Rachel, Ellen, Wes. Thank you for coming on the show. They're singles. You can get out there and find their single right now. Go to edisonchair.com. You're going to announce, hey, link to the single. Find out when they're playing shows, because they're having a release show at Spider House March 31st here in Austin. Are you guys doing anything for South By?
We don't know yet.
Okay, so get in touch. Go to edisonchair.com. I hope you get everything. Great song. I did not see a video, so I'm sure
it's
great.
It comes out tomorrow.
February 6th.
Check it out.
So you guys, as soon as this is out, it'll already be out. So go to edisonchair.com. Thank you guys for coming.
Thank you.
Is there anything
Thank
I'm missing?
You.
Nothing?
No, I think right.
that's it.
You did a great job.
Yay.
Look for Wes and my show coming on Access Television.
As soon as possible. Almost.
Johnny and Wes name things.
That was a lot of fun. Yeah, man, I love talking to Martin, Ellen, Wes, and then Rachel showing up. That was nice. What a great group of people. Edison Chair, great band. Great job, Matt Noveski. Check out their single and video. I hope you get everything available now. Go to edisonchair.com to find out. And also, their release show, March 31st at Spider House here in Austin, Texas. Get involved by going to edisonchair.com. Great conversation, great people. Don't forget, while you're checking out stuff on edisonchair.com, you can subscribe to this podcast basically anywhere, all right? If you're listening to Edison Chair on Spotify, if you went there to check out I Hope You Get Everything, check us out on Spotify. Follow us on Spotify. You'll get a new show every Tuesday and every Friday. We are also on Apple Podcast. We are on iPhone Podcast app, the Android Podcast app, Stitcher, TuneIn, all the places where you find podcasts, baby. You will find How Did I Get Here, all right? Let's hear the rest of this song, I Hope You Get Everything, by the amazing band Edison Chair. Go find them. Go to their release show. Get involved. Thanks, guys, for coming by. It was great having them back on the show. Old Martin is all grown up now. What a cool cat. Playing a Rickenbacker. Here it is. I Hope You Get Everything. Edison Chair. EdisonChair.com. Thanks for listening. Let's get down.